There's a sefer that, depending on what area of halacha you learn, so there are certain svarim that are perceived as being classics. So as an example, if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, the sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa is a classic. The Mishnah Brura, obviously, and whatever he writes about, is considered to be a classic. In different areas of halacha, so sometimes there are svarim which are classic svarim, that because they're not often learned as part of the regular halacha seder limud, or in many situations even the regular limud when you're in smicha, these are svarim that are not always as popular, but it doesn't mean they don't have massive, massive impact. There is a sefer called Nachla Shiva. Nachla Shiva is a very, very important yesodistic and classic sefer, especially if one has any interest in taking the discussions found here in the first parak of Ksubis or other places and making it lemaisa. What is the sefer Nachla Shiva? So Nachla Shiva is written by a Talmud of the Taz. The Taz, and the Vedas of Kalim and Shulchan Aruch, written by a Talmud of the Taz. And what he does at length, there are a lot of other side chidushim also, but one of the things that he does is he goes through all of the halachas of shtaros, and he gives you even the text of various shtaros. So he goes through how you write tanayim, a ksuva, a get, a shtar chov, a shtar mechira, that we know that so much of our, we speak a lot about sometimes the lumdus of shtaros, we spoke about a ksuva as being that, we learned that has given a lot of lumdus about a get. We have to make sure we're actually writing it properly and in the right way. What's intriguing about the Sefer Nachla Shiva, it's been put out many, many times. The Sefer is so important that what people often use is not the Sefer Nachla Shiva. There's a Sefer called Kitzer Nachla Shiva, which is put out in a abridged version, so you would know what to do in terms of having those Staros. Even those that don't use an actual Nachla Shiva, so the Svarim that talk about the text of Aksuva, the text of so that often comes from the Nachla Shiva. So the RCA put out years ago like a manual for rabbis to run life cycle events. So a lot of the shtaros that are found, that comes from the Nachla Shiva, he's really in many ways massively important. Quoted by people like the Chasam Sofer, Rav Wozner, and Shevet HaLevi, and his Askama, the newer editions of Nachla Shiva, point out these are svarim which are Nagu B'chol Tfutos Yisrael. This is where everybody that talked about shtaros, a minimum, is contending with the Nachla Shiva, and he becomes the starting point of a variety of different conversations. It's not really that much relevant to Orach Chaim, to the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with our regular day-to-day life of davening, etc. But in Choshen Mishpat and Evan HaEzer, the sefer Nachla Shiva is of massive, massive importance. One of the reasons why he's important also, where he spent a lot of time clarifying the different minhagim of how those shtaros look. That if you are from Ashkenaz, or you're from Poland, or you're from different places had slightly different nishaos, he himself argued strongly against those that were sort of mixing and matching a little bit. And therefore, he's wonderful for knowing like the exact nusach of how it was written in different places. They write in the Hakdama to the newer edition, haven't gone through it to know if this is, you know, but that in those places, what he does do sometimes, in those places that do not have set minhagim, you're writing it in a new place. There's no set or no established minhag. So there he will often try and merge different minhagim to have you be yote according to all of the shitas in whatever way you are really able to. I want to talk about one chiddush of the Nachla Shiva, which is a little bit of a known chiddush in a certain sense, and one that I think is very, very intriguing. When a person fills out a ksuva, as some of us may know, that in general, the halakhas of writing a get, when it comes to writing a get, it requires a real degree of precision and a real bekias in the world of halakha, in particular, how you refer to different places. That's a big discussion. How you refer to places has to be spelled in a very precise way. It's big Talmid Chacham. In Milwaukee, I believe, was a sefer put out on the halachas of how you spell the different names of places. I remember Rabbi Jachter saying once, who's very much involved in this, that he did a bunch of Gidin. We don't like to do new places that often, because if it has the mesorah of how to spell, we like to keep it like that. So he started doing for a while my parents' house in New Rochelle. He would do Gidin sometimes, because New Rochelle was a convenient location depending on where people were going to come from as a meeting place. And even to establish like how you're going to spell New Rochelle, so required consultation with a variety of Zalman Chemia, Gedalia Shorts, and some others to make sure that all these things were going to be spelled, you know, properly. And I think even if I remember, I think when I was in high school, you know, if he was ever referring to where you were from, it would be like New Rochelle, and he would refer to like the rivers that are nearest to, you know, to it. It requires a real degree of expertise. That isn't Gidin. So when people, to be a Masader get, because we're so machbid on the names also, we often have nicknames or whatever else you're called in a get, the Miskariya Hamachuna in a get, to make sure it's all going to be as clearly identified that it is you. What are the standards for a ksuva? Are we as machbid for a ksuva? So that's a little bit complicated because many of the people that are Masader Kiddushin are not the same people who are Masadr Gidin. Masadr Gidin often comes with a higher degree of expertise than you are when it comes to the average Masadr Kedushin that may not have that same method of knowledge. That's why what some people will end up doing is if they're going to be Masadr Kedushin and they don't have that degree of expertise, they will consult with someone that is Masadr Gidin and knows all these halachas very, very well. But there are a lot of machlokes, and as an example, we are exceptionally machbid about the way that we spell names on a get. Are we as machbid in the way that we spell names on a ksuva, or do we assume that it's more or less, it's fine, as long as you can read, you know who it is, that would be good enough. The Nachla Shiva has a chiddush. It's a chiddush which is actually part of this, is a real subject to machlokas achronim, the Tiv Gidin argues it a little bit, where he thinks that whenever you write a ksuva, be'ezo datik b'ksuva, b'chol davar shemidakta kim beget, that when you write a ksuva, it's important to be as precise as you would be with a get. Why? Because he's nervous that if people are going to be writing a get and they want to know a person's name, what are they likely to be looking at in order to spell the name properly? They're going to look at the ksuva. Why would they be looking at the ksuva when they're writing the get? Because when are you going to bring out the ksuva? At a gerushin. That's when you get paid for the ksuva. So he writes that it's very important that we have all the same standards, all the same standards. But ima sofer eino nizer b'kaf, if you're writing a ksuva and you are not as careful, that you're going to have a problem because people may then end up writing a get, which is more problematic. He actually goes a step further. He quotes that the Marshal was upset about the Ramah about this in a different place. But he writes, "Behavi Raya, the Marshal, brother Raya, the Matzakas of the Yisrael Talmud Chacham, Madaktik, Afilu Beigrasso, Bibnei Shalom, the Menel in Yagidin." He thinks that if you're a big Talmud Chacham, if you're writing Sefer Igras Moshe and you're referring to a location, even though your tshuva has nothing to do with Hilchos Gidin, you're talking about a shiloh which came up in Boston, and you're writing the question which came up in Boston, so says Nachla Shiva, I think you should be careful to spell Boston when you write it there, the way that it would be kosher when you are writing a get. How come? Because people will be looking at your svarim and say, oh, if Moshe spelled Boston that way, that must be the way to spell it. And for that reason, there are a variety of people who are very, very machbid on that. I've shared the maisa in the past that when I got married, so my wife's name is Alana, and there was a big Talmud Chacham in Montreal who told me that I think there's a shaila whether Alana should really be spelled with an aleph at the end because the name's in Sefer Daniel. We'll take his word for it. So when that was going on, so he told me he thinks that in my ksuva it should really have it with an aleph at the end. I think he said that along his lines. But then he thought he had a raya. The raya was from a tshuva, Rav Avadia, and Yabia Omer. Rav Avadia happens to mention the name Alana, parenthetically, and he mentions it with a hey. He said to me at the time, which I didn't understand, he said, and even though Rav Avadia is just writing it as a regular tshuva, not about how you spell the name Alana, if Rav Avadia wrote it that way, mistama he holds, you could use it like that in the ksuva or a get also. At the time I was wondering, like, that seems like a very, very odd raya. But when you go through the Nachla Shiva, one understands why. Because there was the minig of people, especially like Rav Avadia, that knows that whoever's given, when he spells a name, people are going to be looking at it to know how to write a particular ksuva. So it's important to be very, very careful in that respect. Which is why you have a problem also, we'll just point out it for our dear Chassan here. If you're going to get an artistic ksuva, so that's often a big problem. Because sometimes the artists who do the ksuva are often wonderfully talented artists, but they're not necessarily as familiar with all of the halachas. And often there's a lot of give and take between the Masadr Kedushin and the person, the artist who's putting it out. One of the questions comes up, how makil or machmer you could be with a ksuva. If a name, it's clear what the name really is, but it's spelled a little bit differently, how big of a deal is that? Nachla Shiva thinks it's a very big deal. Some of the other posts can think, as long as it's clear, the names that you're referring to, that we know nowadays, people are not so mech on a ksuva when they're spelling the names of a get. But the Sefer Nachla Shiva is a wonderful sefer, I would say, to be familiar with. Whether a person actually needs to go through it at this point, I suspect it is not necessarily as critical. But it is a great sefer. We're talking about ksuvas and the like, the actual text of a ksuva. So he goes through it here, with the text, a different nesos, the text of a ksuva. This is, from Elazar Bar Yosef, a different acronym and the way that they would spell it. And again, especially when you get to very complicated questions, like here as an example, not a regular ksuva. But when are people going to open a Nachla Shiva? The nusach of a ksuva, if you are machzir grushaso. You divorce the woman, then you decide you're going to remarry her. So the nusach of that kind of a ksuva is a little bit more complicated. Or, not the ksuva before you get married, but reference to the past, a friend of mine, who realized a couple years into marriage that they have no idea where the ksuva is. And now the text of the ksuva written after you're already married. So sometimes the more complicated kind of situations, that's where the safer Nachla Shiva becomes all the more beneficial. And again, they have some new additions now, which do a great job here, or the shovar of a ksuva. If the ksuva is paid off, how do you write the receipt? So that's clear it was paid off. A lot of very, very important questions here in the Nachlas Shiva.